The DNA and Cancer Connection. We're delighted to have with us today Dr. Henry Lai, who is research professor in the Department of Bioengineering at the University of Washington. Dr. Lai's research interests include the biological effects of non-ionizing radiation, as well as the use of electromagnetic fields to treat disease. His research has included papers on the neurological effects of electromagnetic radiation, impacts on learning and memory, and DNA damage resulting from exposure to microwave radiation at levels considered safe by the U.S. government standards. Dr. Lai authored two sections in the recent Landmark Bioinitiative report on the science showing biological effects from electromagnetic fields. The first was on the evidence for genotoxic effects from radio frequency and extremely low frequency fields, and the second was on the evidence for the effects on neurology and behavior. Welcome to electromagnetichealth.org, Dr. Lai.
Hello.
Dr. Lai, what do we know about the impact of radio frequency electromagnetic fields, such as from cell phones and wireless technologies, on the DNA of living beings?
Let me make a statement first before this.
Okay.
What you said about what the effect that I found on electromagnetic field applies to radio frequency fields, which is emitted by cell phones, for example, and also to extremely low frequency fields, which is the most common form is the 60 cycle field that comes out from a for example, electrical appliances, and also from power lines. So basically what I'm going to tell you applies to both types of fields. It's very interesting that both types of fields have very similar biological effects, which is quite amazing, actually, and also surprising. So, well, let's go back to the DNA question.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found is that all our experiments were done in animals.
Mm-hmm.
So they're so-called in vivo experiments.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the, about 10 years ago, more than that, 1995, we exposed some animals to, these are rats, to radio frequency radiation for 2 hours. And then we took the cells from the brain of the animal and we analyzed the DNA in the cells, in the brain cells.
Mm-hmm.
And using a method we call a Kamek assay, which is a very sensitive assay for DNA damage.
Mm-hmm.
What it measures is how many breaks are formed in the DNA molecule.
Mm-hmm.
So the results from that experiment was that DNA breaks are formed after an animal was exposed to radio frequency radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And now there are two types of DNA breaks. There are so-called single-strand breaks and also double-strand breaks. Single-strand breaks are usually not very harmful because the cell usually can repair easily single-strand breaks. But double-strand break is kind of a problem. It's very difficult to repair.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the cell can make mistakes when they're preparing double-strand breaks, and this will lead to mutation. That means it's just a so-called misrepair of the DNA. Now, what happens is the cell can, there's different consequences in this type of double-strand breaks. The cell can become not function very well.
Mm-hmm.
If the DNAs are not repaired completely.
Mm-hmm.
And second is that if they are repaired but not, if they make mistake during the repair, the cell can become cancerous. The cell may develop into cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the third consequence is that if there are many of these DNA breaks form in a cell, the cell will die because it cannot function anymore. So now this is the experiment. We did the experiment several times, and we changed the intensity of time and things like that. And we consistently found that the DNA is damaged by radio frequency field.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in around 1998, we tried extremely low frequency field, the 60 cycle magnetic fields. And again, we found the same effect. And in that experiment, that's one thing that came out very interesting, is that the longer you expose, the more damage you can observe in the DNA. And another thing is that you can trade time with intensity. For example, low intensity exposure for a long time is equal to a short exposure time but a higher intensity.
Mm-hmm. So you had mentioned the first studies in 1995 were after 2 hours of exposure.
Right.
What was the level that the time period, the lowest time period that you experimented with?
We did not do any different time point with the radio frequency field.
Mm-hmm.
But in the extremely low frequency area, 30 minutes to 60 minutes is enough to cause DNA damage. Of course, the extent of the damage depends on how long you expose.
Mm-hmm. So what is the connection between DNA damage and cancer? How does that work? What is actually happening?
Well,
how are the fields?
DNA damage, of course, cancer, one of the most common type of common cause of cancer is a DNA mutation.
Mm-hmm.
So if there are mutations in a cell's DNA, the cell may develop into a cancer. So all cancer can come from, cancer can come from a mutation within one cell.
Mm-hmm. Is there an immune suppression factor also that's going on simultaneously?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That could be, but we have not studied any of those enzymes.
Mm-hmm. So I read that research studies funded by industry are less likely to report a statistically significant result with exposures to electromagnetic radiation. What can you tell us about this? You know, and I've also heard that some of the studies show DNA damage, and almost half of them, in many cases, also show no effect. What are we to make of conflicting research like this?
Well, you're referring to a study by a German, by a group of German researchers. So that paper was published in a journal called Environmental Health Perspective,
mm-hmm.
2006, I think, December of 2006 or January 2007. And the conclusion from that paper is that when they surveyed the paper published on cell phone radiation, what they found is that those studies supported by the industry tended not to report effects.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conclusion is that when you look at a paper, you have to look at who was funding the paper, who was funding the study.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, when you look at the DNA damage literature, there are quite a lot of paper on DNA damage. And again, you find the same type of phenomenon that studies funded by the industry usually reported no effect.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the research in 1995 that you did was on animals, on rats, I believe, right?
Right.
Have there been studies done subsequently on the impact on human DNA?
Yeah, there's a study done by an Australian investigator on sperm cells, sperm DNA, human sperm DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he reported DNA damage to the human sperms after they were exposed to cell phone radiation.
Mm-hmm. Is there a connection between DNA damage and effects on fertility?
I would think so, but I don't know of any, mm-hmm. any reference to that. Of course, if the DNA is damaged too much, the cell cannot. The sperm cannot fertilize the ovum. So
mm-hmm. What are the main
the
ways that
they die as a consequence?
Mm-hmm. So, what are the main ways that the radio frequency radiation affects the nervous system?
Now that is an interesting question. I think the best thing, there are quite a lot of studies on radio frequency radiation, actually EMF on nervous system, on the cell physiology up to behavior, learning, memory, function.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you look at the cell phone type of radiation, I think the most believable studies are the EEG studies, that the radiation affects the electrical activities of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what kind of behavior, if you affect the EEG, the electroencephalograph, which is the function of the nerve cell, the firing of the nerve cell in the brain. So you ask what kind of health or even their biological consequence will result from this type of nerve disturbance. That is still a no good answer to that. Somebody reported that after exposure to radio frequency radiation, a person responded faster faster to environmental challenge.
Uh-huh.
And other people we found that it's found the opposite. But mostly, I think it's a facilitation. Most of the results tends to find a facilitation of behavioral function.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, does the body have any kind of early warning system, such as with a toxic chemical, you have a strong sense that you should remove yourself from the danger? Do we have any kind of similar early warning system to lead us to remove ourselves from electromagnetic fields?
Well, that's another good question. When you go back to other types of toxins, usually the body would bonds give you some kind of early warning. For example, some kind of poison, sometimes a bitter. And so you encounter, you ate something bitter, you may not want to eat anymore. So that's
mm-hmm.
kind of a warning of that you may be poisoned by something.
Mm-hmm.
The case with EMF, electromagnetic fields, is that you cannot sense it at all. There's no warning at all. Because you cannot hear it, you cannot see it, or you cannot smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the other senses are not affected by the electromagnetic fields.
Mm-hmm.
It's some kind of a warning that you're being exposed.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading something that you wrote about how the brain chemicals called opioids are formed in the brain when a person is exposed to electromagnetic radiation.
Uh-huh.
And I also understand that opioids, I believe, are involved in addiction. Is that not correct?
Well, this is so-called endogenous opioids, and
mm-hmm.
the most common form is endorphin.
Mm-hmm.
This is released, it's an electrical chemical released by the brain when, for example, when a person is under stress. Can a person addicted to that? I really don't know. Some people say people jog every day, and they also release endorphin. And if you do not stop while it's raining or something like that, you cannot go out and jog. You have kind of cold turkey kind of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
That may be a reaction to this endorphin.
So what I was where I'm really going with this is, might there be any kind of addictive response to the technologies that use microwave radiation?
Based
on what's happening in the brain?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know any answer to that.
Okay. So what does the research show about the role of the duration of exposure and the number of exposures? Can you talk a little bit about having brief exposures to these fields versus constant exposures, as in being exposed to 24-hour Wi-Fi, for example?
Well, as we said earlier, that you can, for some responses, you may be able to trade time with intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use a cell phone, you're exposed to a very high intensity of radiation, relatively intense, because the antenna is so close to the head.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you don't use it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And then does the body rebalance, or is there any kind of long-term cumulative effect?
I will tell you about that later.
Okay.
And then when you're exposed to, for example, Wi-Fi, or which is sitting in your room, or a cell tower next to your house, you're exposed to a very low intensity radiation. But a very long time. You can be exposed to that for 24 hours a day. And would that have the same effect as a short-term use of cell phone? That is a possibility. So even though the intensity is very low, but you're exposed to that for a long time, you may get the same effect as using a cell phone for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, actually the basic question is, would this effect accumulate over time?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the basic question. We don't have any good answer to that. But if you look at DNA damage, the effects, of course, is cumulative. If the,
mm-hmm.
One cell got damaged and then it cannot repair, it will remain in the body as long as the cell lives. Then another cell got damaged. So after long-term exposure, you have more and more cells got damaged by the radiation.
Mm-hmm. So at least in the case of DNA, we understand that there is a cumulative mm-hmm. effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at the other effects, there are different stages. The cell, of course, will try to repair, try to counteract this type of damage. For example, when people talk about this so-called heat shock protein, which is affected by the electromagnetic field, a heat shock protein is a type of protein, an enzyme, which the function is to repair damage in cells. Hmm. So that is a reaction to the challenge, to the environmental challenge from the EMF.
Mm-hmm.
And now that may be good or maybe bad. If you have a short-term exposure, that you may enhance this heat shock protein. That actually make your body
mm-hmm.
more prepared to repair, to become normal again.
Mm-hmm. So it stimulates the self-correcting process.
Yeah, right. So,
mm-hmm.
But to a point, if you are under this type of exposure for a long time, this type of mechanism may eventually break down.
Mm-hmm. How can
cannot keep up with all this damage? What happened is some kind of adverse health effect will happen.
Mm-hmm. And how concerned are you about the impact of WiMAX that's going to be covering America in the next few years with high-powered Wi-Fi 24 hours a day?
Well, then we have in order to understand those effects, we have to understand two things. One is low-intensity exposure. Of course, this is a low-intensity exposure. Do they cause any biological effects, not to
mm-hmm.
talk about harmful health effects. And second is that will this effect accumulate over time?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we don't have good answer to that, but there are indications that this type of response, that means responses to low-intensity radio frequency radiation and cumulative effect occur under certain conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have very much information on this new type of technology.
Mm-hmm.
The frequency they use and the wave patterns are very different from the other forms of communication devices.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a sense of the range of cancers that have been associated in research with electromagnetic radiation exposure? What kinds of cancers do we know?
The one thing for I think it's very clear is leukemia,
mm-hmm.
especially childhood leukemia, and that has been associated with exposure to extremely low frequency, 60 cycle, 50 cycle electromagnetic fields. And then, of course, there are studies on brain tumors.
Mm-hmm.
For people who use cell phones more than 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So the top cancers in right now are the prostate, lungs, and colon. Do we have any knowledge of their connection between electromagnetic fields and these three top cancers?
No, these organs are so far away from the... if you talk about cell phones, the liver and the prostate is quite far away from the phone. And direct effect is, I think, it's not quite possible. Except the only possibility is that if the radiation, when you use a phone, if the radiation affects the function of the brain, and the brain may not be maybe secreting some hormone, maybe some changes in hormone, that may affect the other organs.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is a speculation.
Yeah. What research is going on in the United States today on the connection between electromagnetic fields and cancer?
I think there's a study going on funded by NIH. I'm not sure whether it has started or not. It's a big study. But otherwise, there's nothing going on.
Mm-hmm. So we have, I remember reading that the National Cancer Institute has just over about a $6 billion budget.
Uh-huh.
So there's not any significant amount of that's going to look at our response to these increasing amount of electromagnetic frequencies in our environment.
What is that, 6 million per year, right?
6 billion.
6 billion per year?
The budget for 2009 for the National Cancer Institute is just over 6 billion.
Uh-huh. That's a lot.
So,
but come back to this thing. When you look at the cancer, the field of cancer, EMF is only a very small part of the whole thing. And the other cancer is how to treat cancer, how to prevent cancer, how to understand how people develop cancer. And those are much, much more important than considering EMF effect.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Lai, scientists, and many scientists independent of the telecommunications industry, believe that the exposure guidelines set by the FCC are not adequate to protect our health. And then just recently, the European Parliament voted 522-16 to saying that their exposure guidelines are obsolete and need to be reevaluated. I'm wondering if you could comment on this. Do we need
I
to
agree
be...
with that.
Uh-huh. Do we need to be reevaluating the guidelines in the United States?
Yeah, old guideline basically depend on very old data, and for some reason they did not look at the new results. And particularly, these committees always use this how this forward per kilogram SAR that can stop a monkey or a rat from doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And use that as obviously like a doctrine or something. Use that as a guideline. But when you look at all this new data, the effects are far much, much lower than the forward per kilogram. And
mm-hmm.
another thing is that in the daily situation, we are actually exposed to EMF for a long time. You use a phone, you use it for 10 years, and these guidelines did not look at the effects of long-term exposure. So as we say earlier, if these effects are cumulative, and the guidelines basically based on acute exposure, one-term exposure, are basically no good. I think it's very simple to understand that when you base your data on experiment that expose, let's say, animal or some cells to, let's say, 40 minutes, 45 minutes, 2 hours, it's not going to apply to daily situation. And so in by looking at that, the data, this guidelines did not take into account of long-term exposure, and they did not look into the newer results.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that, you say that these are all, well, I would say it's obsolete or it's useless.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a possibility of cumulative exposure, I think you have to be much, much more careful when setting the guidelines.
Mm-hmm. Now, recently, the University of Pittsburgh Cancer Institute became the first medical center in the United States to take a stand about the health hazards of microwave radiation from cell phones. Do you think that their warning went far enough?
Well, I think that it's basically not a warning. It's a suggestion that you should not expose yourself to too much of the radiation, and I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to eliminate the exposure level or reduce the exposure level. And I guess one should be aware of this type of when you use a phone, it may harm your health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's becoming increasingly difficult for people in the work world where, you know, the environments are wireless environments.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard for many people to escape it. They can minimize use of a cell phone, but, you know, the Wi-Fi is another thing. I'm wondering, the drug, the pharmaceutical industry is a, you know, billion-dollar industry, and I read one study about the impact of electromagnetic fields on the absorption of tamoxifen, and I'm just wondering. Oh, that was magnetic fields. I'm wondering
what's the effect of the extremely low frequency field can affect the effects of tamoxifen.
Yeah, on the drug
absorption.
Yeah. So what I'm wondering is, what are the chances that radio frequency fields might also be disturbing absorption of drugs, not just you know, cancer chemotherapeutics, but all drugs.
Yes, of course. That is actually the first experiment, the first group of experiment that I did in 1980, 1983, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And 28 years ago, and the first thing we found out is that the radiation can affect a lot of drug functions. For example, amphetamine, cocaine. Of course, this people use this type of drug too.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that came out very interesting, it affects alcohol. Effects of alcohol.
Is that right? In what way?
Well, it can either enhance the effect or decrease the effect of alcohol. And one thing that I think is interesting related to what we talked about earlier is that so we have this rats exposed to radio frequency fields, and it is a very low level, not high level. And so we give a bottle of alcohol, and but the rat can drink, and it's very low concentration. It's like wine. It's at 10-20%,
mm-hmm.
kind of 10%. And the rat can drink until they're drunk. If you're exposed, when they're exposed to the alcohol, a microwave,
mm-hmm.
the electromagnetic field. So what it says is that when a rat is exposed to radio frequency field, they tend to drink more alcohol.
Hmm.
So
hmm.
that was published most likely in the early 1980s.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Now, we could not understand why anyone would drink more alcohol. when they're exposed to radio frequency radiation.
Hmm.
But then in the 1990s, the FDA approved a drug for treatment of alcoholism. The drug is naloxone. Naloxone is a drug that counteracts opioid.
Hmm.
So earlier, what it means is the assumption is that people who are alcoholic, they want to drink alcohol, they have more opioid, and all this opioid relief.
Very interesting.
And if you can block this opioid using this drug naloxone, you can block the craving for alcohol. You can stop this drinking behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we said that radio frequency field increases endogenous opioids functions in the brain, and that could be the reason why the rat drink more alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah. Very, very interesting. I know you have a special interest in the healing effects of electromagnetic fields. What's happening in research now showing that electromagnetic fields can either support health or reverse illness? Is this a new area of research?
Well, the two areas we're working on, one is that we're trying to use electromagnetic fields to treat malaria.
Mm-hmm.
That depends. It's a long story, but what it is that the fields, the electromagnetic field, oxidating electromagnetic field, can kill malaria because the malaria has some magnetic particles inside. So that is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that we are working on is to use low-level electromagnetic field for cancer treatment.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And so what's
also, that's a long story. It's hard. So to tell you why that's possible.
Mm-hmm. So at what stage is that research?
We're still working on it, and I am actually writing up a paper for publication.
Mm-hmm.
So, just wait and see.
Okay, that sounds great. So, one final question for you. On given what you know about the impact of electromagnetic fields on DNA and on cancer, if you had the ear of the new United States president, what would you want to tell him about the importance of this subject to the health of our nation and to healthcare costs?
I think the NIH has to at least spend some money to look at the biological effects of electromagnetic fields, particularly on the cell phone radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And we are absolutely fall behind. We have compared to other countries in this type of research. Now of course, I cannot say that electromagnetic fields exposure can certainly cause some kind of adverse health effect, but there are quite a lot of studies indicating that is a possibility, that especially after long term exposure, and some money has to be spent on that. But when you look back to the history of the U.S. Research in the electromagnetic field, there was no special program on EMF research. The only exception is the one so-called the RAPID program, which was a program to look at extremely low frequency. But now there's so many people using cell phones, and of course you talk about this Wi-Fi that's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't the Environmental Protection Agency focused on this?
Well, usually the traditional money comes from the NIH because they have the capability of reviewing proposals, and all proposals will be peer reviewed, and those who are found to be good will be funded. At least some money has to be. You say there's $6 billion on research, maybe spend maybe $60 million just on well, $60 million is a lot of money for EMF research.
Yeah, you'd think that they could allocate part of
that,
too.
$6 million is good enough.
Yeah, really.
But unfortunately, most of the labs in the U.S. have been closed down, and there's no more research people left the field and doing something else, and it becomes very difficult to reset. The expertise are gone, basically.
What do you think the research priorities should be? Like, if you were given money to do more research in this area, what should be the next priorities?
Well, I think the priority, I don't think cancer is my first priority. I think the first priority is to look at neurodegenerative disease. For example, Alzheimer's disease or ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. And I think maybe the impact of a mobile phone or a cell phone use is not mainly on cancer development. It may, for the long-term exposure, as I said, the cell damage and they die, and nerve cell die. The nerve cell cannot be repaired because once they're dead, they're gone. And when the cells are dead, this type of diseases may come out, like Alzheimer's come out.
Interesting.
So that may be an important area to look into.
Well, Dr. Lai, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure having you with us on electromagnetichealth.org, and I really appreciate all of your insights.